Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Larry the Cucumber.
Perhaps I can be of assistance.
Mr. Lunt.
Aye, aye, Captain.
And Pa Gray.
Man the cannon!
Are the pirates who don't do anything.
Never being afraid to do what's right, even when it's hard.
It means a lot more to you than you think it will, coming from vegetables. And you don't really expect them to tug at your heart like they actually do.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, you know the face and you recognize the voice.
Hi, kids. This is Bob the Tomato, and you're listening to Jim Burns on Homeward. Right, Larry?
That's Phil Vischer. He's the co-creator of VeggieTales. It's one of the most popular video collections ever, with sales of more than 40 million copies worldwide. In fact, there is a VeggieTales video in nearly one out of three American households. Phil Vischer has a passion to use the media to help children, help families learn biblical values. But a couple of years ago, at what should have been the height of his career success, Phil found himself in the back of a bankruptcy court watching his dream being sold out from under him. Well, since that heartbreaking day, Phil Vischer has learned a lot about faith and he's learned a lot about forgiveness. He also has a new vision for using media to have a positive influence on kids. And during the next half hour, I'm going to continue my conversation with Phil Vischer. We'll keep on talking about vegetables, his personal loss in his own life, jellyfish. So stay with us right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. APU has been a pioneer in Christian education, all different sorts of expressions. You can go to school on campus. You can go to school online if you want to. We have students from all 50 states and many foreign countries as well enjoying the educational experience through APU.edu. I'm part of the School of Adult and Professional Studies myself, and I know it's challenging work. It's a rigorous coursework, but it's very, very rewarding, and it's going to be a degree from an accredited Christian university. For more information on anything that you want to do educationally through APU, go to homeward.com and hit the link for Azusa Pacific University. Today on the program, part two of what is actually a three-part conversation with author Phil Vischer. Here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am smiling today. It's a continuing conversation with Phil Vischer, and he's the creator of VeggieTales. He also is involved with an incredible new program, comes out of Jellyfish Labs, Jelly Telly. We're going to talk more about that as well. Phil, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Incredibly compelling story of a shy kid who put 40 million videos into homes, and one out of every three American households had a VeggieTales. I mean, what an experience.
Yeah, it was quite a ride. I mean, we went from literally starving artists working out of a storefront on the north side of Chicago. There were three of us trying to make a TV show in a tiny little storefront in between a comic book shop and a Spanish grocery store. And about 4 years later, I had 150 employees, had built the largest animation studio in between the coasts. I was now getting calls from The Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, Newsweek, People Magazine was coming to our house to do a photo shoot. So there's just an incredible, you know, explosive meteoric rise. About a year later, I was sitting in the back of a bankruptcy courtroom, and the whole thing had fallen apart, and I had lost it all.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Now, you know, it's one of the things we have in common is a love and appreciation for Walt Disney. I grew up near Walt's place in Anaheim, California. People have compared you to Walt Disney, and Walt Disney had some failures, if you would, in the midst of some pretty big successes.
Yeah, he actually went bankrupt at age 23 and then moved out to L.A. and started all over again. Right. And he was one of my inspirations. I wanted to be the next Walt, you know, or the Christian Walt, or something like that. And that's what drove me. And as I looked back at things started to fall apart, I realized much of it was because of my own ambition, you know, this drive to, I need to do as much as I can, as fast as I can. I need to be more impressive. I need to be bigger. I need to be more effective. And a lot of that, I realized, was because as a kid, I wasn't exactly sure who I was. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad walked out when I was 9 years old, and I was a middle kid, and I was really shy, and I kind of felt like nobody saw me, you know, and that I wasn't worth the time. I wasn't worth hanging out. And suddenly, hanging out for, and suddenly, you know, I'm getting calls from the Wall Street Journal, and I'm getting calls from Time Magazine, and there's a little voice inside me saying, well, now am I worth it? You know, now am I worth hanging out for? But I worked myself so hard trying to accomplish all this, I ended up in the hospital, in the emergency room. I thought I'd had a heart attack. It turns out I had pericarditis, which is a viral infection in the lining of your heart. The next year, I got strep throat. The year after that, I got shingles. You know, typically affects the very old or the very frail. Right. And all were stress-related. I was killing myself trying to say, am I doing enough now? And I realized, you know, I was saying it to my dad, but I was also saying it to God. Saying, am I doing enough now that you're impressed with me?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And one of the things you said as you looked at dreams was that you said you had a dream once, it started crashing, and you became numb. What do you mean by that?
It's what I did when my dad left. And I hurt so much for so long. I remember as a kid, you know, just crying myself to sleep for month after month, probably three straight months. And I finally got tired of it. Said, I'm not going to feel like this anymore. And so I just stopped. You know, it was like there was a plug and I just unplugged it. And that became a defense mechanism. You know, if I don't like what I'm feeling, I'll just go numb. I'll just shut down. And so when my company collapsed, and this was my dream, you know, I want to be the next Walt Disney. And I thought it's a good dream because it's to help people. Mm-hmm. You know, so therefore it's okay, right? God let it fall apart, you know, and I started to go numb again and kind of curl up into a ball. But he reached out to me through other people and started to show me what I had done. And he showed me, and this is probably the most important lesson that he showed me, I had made the work I was doing for him more important than my relationship with him. That at the end of the day, he's not calling me to go save the world all by myself. He's calling me into a relationship with him. God just wanted me to stop. You know, and he actually kind of held me to the ground, you know, for 3 or 4 months. Because after the bankruptcy, you know, I tried to join the new company. I tried to follow my characters around and say, I'll still run it. I'll still do this. And the new owner said, you know what? No, I think we'll take it from here. And I found myself, I couldn't do anything. You know, and I felt like I was a executive who just had a nervous breakdown. You know, I'm in rehab at home, you know, just shuffling around in my slippers and bathrobe. It's like, okay, can I run something? what can I do? But I started just reading the Bible and praying and reading the Bible and praying. And I finally got to the point where I turned to my wife one night and said, I don't need to do anything. You know, I don't need to write a new kid's book. I don't need to make a new video. I don't need to make a movie. I realized my needs were being met by my relationship with God. And out of that, I could start new work again.
Isn't that interesting? That's incredible. You know, one of the defining moments that caused you to be able to speak like you're speaking right now was a moment that you wrote about in your book, Me, Myself, and Bob. It's visiting Disneyland after the bankruptcy. Yeah. I was mentioning before the program that I lived on Harbor Boulevard and Ball Road, which is the address of Disneyland. Also, that's where I grew up. Disneyland fireworks every night when I was young. And as VeggieTales and the Big Idea Company soured, and you went through this very difficult time, you found yourself back at Disneyland.
Yeah, it actually started in the midst of the worst times, in the midst of the bankruptcy, and I got an email from the wife of an employee who'd been praying for me, you know, just committed to praying for me. And she said, I was praying for you today, and God gave me a picture. And I said, ooh, okay, that's different. What was the picture? She said, you're a little boy at Disneyland, and you're looking for your father. And immediately, tears came to my eyes, and I realized, yeah, that's what I am. You know, my dad left when I was 9. The last family trip we took all together was to Disneyland.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and ever since then, I realized I'd been looking for my father in different, you know, leaders that I brought in. Even in Walt himself, I was looking for a father. I was a little kid lost at Disneyland. And I was just like, oh, great. Thanks for that. That's really depressing. A couple months later, she sent me another one. I saw another picture while I was praying for you. Said, now you're a kid at Disneyland, but you're on Jesus' shoulders, and you're having the time of your life. And I thought, well, gee, that sounds nice, but I'm miserable. You know, I'm going through bankruptcy right now. I mean, that, you know, happy Jesus kid, that ain't me. You know, so thanks for trying. and then God took me through all of this. You know, he stripped me apart. He let my good works fall apart so I could see they'd become an idol. And I found peace, and I found joy, and I found love just resting in him. And then I had to speak, and I found myself in L.A. again. So I went to Disneyland, and I had to make my peace with Walt. I had to put down this burden that I'd been carrying around, that I called a dream, but was actually a rock. hanging around my neck. And so at the very end of my day at Disneyland, I went to the statue of Walt in the center of the park and sat down to just think about everything on a bench. And I was sitting there thinking, and a woman came up to me, smiling with her daughter. And immediately I thought, oh, I've been spotted. You know, I'm a little bit of a celebrity, creator of Veggie Tales. You know, she wants a picture. And I got into this, you know, gracious fan receiving mode. And she came up to me and said, would you take our picture with Walt? And I just about choked because they didn't know me from Adam. I was just a strange guy on a bench. I couldn't help but laugh. So I took their picture, got up, took their picture, you know, and I turned around to sit down and keep thinking. And my spot had been taken. And there were now no spots anywhere around, you know, the statue of Walt. And I looked up at Walt and I thought, I think it's time to be done. You know, you be you and I'll be me. You know, not the next Disney, not the Christian Disney, just Phil. You know, and even though I don't really know who that is, you know, you don't know exactly right. who God has, you know, right. for you to be. But for the first time in my life, it was okay. And as I walked down Main Street and out of Disneyland that day to head into this new life, it honestly didn't feel like I was walking at all. It felt like I was riding on someone's shoulders and I was having the time of my life. And I just, whenever I get stressed now, because I'm starting new things and, you know, and I get all excited and then I set a schedule and then I set a budget and then invariably something goes wrong because we're on earth. We're not in heaven. So something's going to go wrong. And I start to feel stressed again, but then I just slow down and say, wait a minute. You know, and I remember the purity of God's love for me and I remember the purity of his call on my life. And I remember that it's not up to me how much I do. It's up to me whether I obey what God has called me to do today, which has much to do with how I make eye contact with the girl who's bagging my groceries at the grocery store as it does with my big world-changing ministry. Okay, and when I remember the purity of my walk with God, the stress just melts away. And I say, okay, God, the budgets, the outcomes, all that, that's yours. You worry about that. I'm going to worry about walking with you. And immediately I'm right back there at Disneyland walking down Main Street on somebody's shoulders.
Well, that's a great word picture. And if you, that might be speaking to you in a way that even we can't fully grasp here on the program today. And I hope it has. I hope it's touched your heart. And I can just feel the stress kind of melting from where you are in this situation right now. Back here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, I'm Roger Marsh. Our host is Dr. Jim Burns, and he's having a conversation with Phil Vischer, the co-creator of VeggieTales, the creator now of Jelly Telly, and the What's in the Bible series, too, describing that feeling of what it's like to put your trust completely in God, even in spite of the surrounding circumstances that can cause you stress and pressure. More from Jim and Phil in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, did you order something online?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. How did you do it? You don't have a credit card.
Actually, I kind of brought yours.
We bought you that laptop for school.
But all my friends get to buy things online.
Not you.
You're so mean. This is so unfair.
Well, when used properly, the internet can be a great educational tool. But it's up to you to make sure that your kids don't begin misusing it. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Be sure to establish the rules for internet usage in your home and be sure to get your kids involved in that process because kids are more likely to support what they help create. Keep the computer in a place where you can monitor its usage. In other words, get it out of the bedroom and into the family room or the kitchen. If you'd like a sample of some healthy rules, you can download a free copy of our media contract for internet usage when you go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today with Phil Vischer. He's the creator of VeggieTales, also the creator of what he calls Jellyfish Labs. You're doing some new stuff here that's actually incredibly exciting, and it's ready to pop right now.
Yeah, it's fun. I started a new company called Jellyfish Labs after the bankruptcy of Big Idea Productions. And the reason it's called Jellyfish is I realized where I kind of got into trouble with Big Idea Productions is when I started making big, grand 20-year plans and then just asking God to show up and bless them. And what I learned through the fall was that that's not what we're supposed to do. If we've given Christ lordship of our life, you know, if you know what lordship means, it means you're not in charge anymore. So where I am in 20 years is none of my business. And I wanted to remind myself of that on a daily basis. And the thing about jellyfish is they can't locomote. They can't choose their own course.
I actually read that in your book. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They can go up a little. They can go down a little, except the box jellyfish in Australia, which can actually chase people and kill them. We do not associate with that jellyfish. But jellyfish in general can't locomote. So for a jellyfish to say, here's where I'm going to be in 20 years, is ridiculous. It's insanity. And as Christians, you know, I was kind of acting like a big studly barracuda. Like, you know, look at me. Here's what I'm going to do for you, God. And I'm a spineless, brainless bag of goo, you know, much more like a jellyfish than like a barracuda. And I only take my form and I only, you know, can accomplish anything when I stay in the current of God's will and let his current carry me where he wants me to be.
You still care deeply for kids and media and the incredible media.
Yeah, that's...
There's so much to do.
There's so much still to be done. The world is changing radically. Kids are consuming more media than ever before. Total media consumption among kids in America is about 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. TV alone is just over 3 hours a day. And I realized that even at the peak with VeggieTales, we were telling two stories a year with VeggieTales videos. Well, kids have moved on, by and large, from VHS cassettes and DVDs, you know, and now they're spending most of their time with platforms like Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel, and then they're online, on the internet, you know, watching YouTube videos and on Disney Online or Nickelodeon Online. So what I've been looking at for the last couple of years is, okay, if VeggieTales videos were a great way to minister to families over the last 15 years, how are we going to do over the next 15 years, where kids are downloading content onto their iPods and Xboxes and, you know, and watching things online? We're launching something called Jelly Telly. And Jelly Telly is, in a nutshell, a tiny online kids TV network. So we're kind of trying to say, you know, we're planting a seed. We don't have hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, so we can't launch a Nickelodeon just overnight like that. But we're planting a seed for something that could grow into a Christian Nickelodeon or a Christian Disney Channel. And every day, kids will be able to come to this website at jellytelly.com and watch about 20 minutes of original videos and play games that reinforce the lessons. And the stuff we're making is so much fun because we're teaching the books of the Bible. We're teaching Christian values. We want to raise biblical literacy. We want to help parents pass on their faith to their kids. Right now, you know, churches are doing some amazing work, but a church gets a kid 1 hour a week. And before the church sees that kid again, the average American kid has spent 22 hours watching TV, mostly with Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel. If we could just take, you know, even just a half an hour a day away from Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel, away from Hannah Montana and High School Musical, and put it into something where we're reinforcing Christian values, where we're showing relief workers and missionaries as heroes to emulate, not pop stars and sports celebrities, where we can, you know, in the same way that when I was growing up, I learned the preamble to the Constitution from a silly song on Saturday morning TV, from Schoolhouse Rock or Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? We can take concepts like George Barna discovered that 50% of adult Protestants in America can't define the word grace. Okay, and you might think, well, that's not a big deal. They know who Jesus is. Well, if they don't know what grace is, do they really know who Jesus is? You know, and even more so, how are we supposed to be living out God's grace in front of the eyes of a watching world if we can't even define the term? But if we take the concept of grace and put it into a goofy little song and play it over and over again, you know, as a little commercial on Jelly Telly, no kid will grow up and not know what grace is. We have a tremendous opportunity to impact kids, primarily because the internet gives us access to households. You know, so even if NBC and the big networks say we don't want Christian programming on the air, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know, Sony just announced that within a year or two, every TV they ship will have a direct internet connection, which means you don't really need to go through the cable systems anymore. You don't need to go through the big guys in Hollywood that are trying to control everything. You can go direct to families, and you can go direct to kids, and on a daily basis, just reinforce, you know, here's what it means to be a Christian. Here's what it looks like to live out God's love in front of the eyes of a watching world. And we think we can make a huge impact on kids.
That is absolutely incredible. And you really, in some ways, have come to this through a personal experience of parenting your own children.
Yes, I've got kids. I have three kids. They're now 17, 13, and 11. And I've watched them, you know, the oldest when she was little was watching VHS cassettes. My youngest now is online. You know, I'm not even sure she knows what a VHS cassette is. We have these old VeggieTales videos on VHS, but they're in the back, you know, shelf, bottom, way. She hasn't seen them in years. But she's finding funny things on YouTube. She's, you know, in Club Penguin and Webkinz and some of those things. And as Christians, we really need to adapt to how kids are interacting with story and with content. Story is so powerful, and media is so pervasive in our culture that we're missing the opportunity to influence the next generation.
What would you say to the parent who's saying, I believe that, I want that, and I don't have any clue how to help my kids get good content besides going to your website, and we'll give that again. But besides going to your website, what do they do? Do they monitor this?
You have to monitor it. And there are a lot of, you know, the internet is also bringing in resources, movie review sites, you know, from Christian ministries. You can go, we won't let our kids see a movie until we've checked out, you know, Movie Mom, until we've checked out Plugged In, you know, which is from Focus on the Family. There are a whole number of sites that other people are doing that really give you good information. But you have to be proactive. It's much easier to find that information because you can just Google it than it was 20 years ago.
So much easier now.
But it's also easier for your kids to find stuff they shouldn't be finding. Yeah. You know, the same knife cuts both ways.
Sure, exactly. Now, this is the big month for Jelly Telly. Where and when can parents and their children access this?
They can go to jellytelly.com, and basically you can sign up for a month free to see everything, all the videos, play all the games. So it's kind of like a Club Penguin, if you're familiar with that, grafted together with a tiny little Nickelodeon. And after the end of the month, we're letting parents sign up for it and subscribe to it, but they can name whatever price they want. We know there are some people, you know, if you sign up for Club Penguin, it's $6 a month. If you sign up for, if your kids play World of Warcraft, it can be $15 a month. And that's a good model because it means we don't have to have advertising. And kids get enough ads thrown in their faces, you know, enough voices saying, you need to wear this, you need to eat this, you need to play with this, or you're not cool. Okay, we didn't want that. We think parents, you know, are willing to pay a little, but we don't want to, you know, we don't want anyone to say, I wish my kids could have this, but we can't afford it. So when parents come, they can name whatever price they want down to, you know, a buck or two a month is fine, and their kids will get access to the whole thing. And we're going to take that money and reinvest it in new programming and also in Christian kids that are coming out of Christian film schools and Christian animation schools that are popping up, you know, since VeggieTales and The Passion of the Christ, and go to those kids and say, okay, we want your ideas. You know, send in your idea, and we'll help you become a working filmmaker. We really have two goals with Jelly Telly. The first goal is to help raise the next generation of Christians so they know what it means to live the gospel in front of the eyes of a watching world. The second goal is to help raise the next generation of Christian storytellers, because story is affecting culture, you know, more than anything else, and we're really falling behind. We've got very good at making Christian music, because we've been practicing making church music for about 2,000 years. We're not very good at making Christian movies, you know, Christian story content, and we think we can help a lot with this.
Well, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your help. You're amazing.
You're welcome.
I appreciate so much all that you do.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you, Phil Vischer, for being a part of this edition of the Homeward Broadcast. And as you heard Jim Burns mention with the Jelly Telly adventure, you can go to homeward.com. We have a link today in the radio broadcast section. If you go to homeward.com, in the radio broadcast section, you see that tab for radio broadcast. There's a link today to Phil Vischer and his website. Phil's name is there, and it's hotkeyed, and you can click on there. It takes you right to philvischer.com. Tells you all about what's in the Bible, that new series, also the Jelly Telly experience, and encouraging young filmmakers and content producers of video content to really strut their stuff and have an impact on the world for the kingdom. You'll find all that information at homeward.com.
Phil Vischer has been my guest today on Homeward. We've been talking about his experience as the creator of VeggieTales, you know, the most successful animated video series in the history, with sales of more than 40 million copies. Isn't that incredible? It was a very rewarding experience to be a part of that project, and it turned out to be a pretty humbling one as well. Isn't that fascinating? You know, over the past couple of programs, we've been having conversations about media safety, and it's up to you as a parent to take a more active role in helping your kids learn how to make good choices in this area. You can't just be a passive observer on this one. Children are a lot more media savvy than many of us grown-ups. You know, one pretty obvious reason is the fact that there's a lot more media to choose from today than there was when you were growing up. Not all media is bad, but it is not all good either. So become a student of the culture your kids are living in. Get familiar with the media options that your kids are choosing from, and you don't necessarily have to use it, but you should at least understand how it works and why it's so important to your kids.
Think about how the smartphone technology has changed the world over the past 5 years, even when you think of the advent of YouTube and Facebook and smartphone technology. It's changed the way kids interact. It's changed the way that we consider things like life and business and education. And the more that we know about this technology and how our kids use it and why they do use it, the better parents we will be. And Phil Vischer is a big champion champion of that. We encourage you to check out what Phil's doing online. Go to homeward.com and hit the radio broadcast section. Also, using that technology, too, you won't want to miss a minute of the Monday through Friday edition of the Homeward broadcast, and you won't have to if you're podcasting along with us. Kind of the grandfather of this type of technology now. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, hit the podcast tab. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and that way you will have the next edition of the Homeward broadcast already in your MP3 player, which is also a conversation with Phil Vischer. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.